Wildfires occurred at record levels last year. As television footage showed, they do a lot of damage to land and property, but they also have impact beyond the local acreage where they burn. They can also affect the atmosphere. And that's of concern to weather watchers at the Naval Research Laboratory. Joining me with more, Dr. David Peterson, a meteorologist with the Marine Meteorology Division at the NLR. Dr. Peterson, good to have you on.
Hi, great to be here.
Now, I don't get many interviews where the word pyrocumulonimbus comes up, but this is going to be one of them, and I couldn't wait to say that word. Why is the NLR concerned with wildfires that occur on land?
Well, you have to keep in mind that when you have wildfires on land, they produce a lot of smoke, and that smoke gets transported a great distance. So that includes regions over land and sea. And that affects visibility, and that's part of the reason why the Navy is interested in these phenomena.
And what are the effects of all this smoke, specifically?
Well, if we go back to August 12th of this past summer, August 12th, 2017, there was an event in Western Canada, in British Columbia, that produced four of these pyrocumulonimbus events. So pyrocumulonimbus is short for wildfire-driven thunderstorm. So you're basically combining a wildfire with a thunderstorm and that heat from the fire driving these thunderstorms. And it acts as a giant chimney, taking smoke from near the surface to high altitudes. And so that's where the concern comes in, because you have smoke at various altitudes where you wouldn't otherwise expect it. There's no prediction for these events, and it can affect atmospheric composition.
In other words, a storm is occurring while the wildfire is burning, and that causes this chimney effect, or does the smoke itself cause the thunderstorm to formulate?
So it's the heat from the wildfire that actually drives the thunderstorm. The environment is similar to when you have traditional thunderstorms, but in this case, the heat provides the extra push or punch needed to build the thunderstorm cloud. And then what happens is you basically have a thunderstorm sucking the smoke from near the ground and putting it up high into the atmosphere, at least to the altitude where jet aircraft fly.
So in other words, the storm has an effect of amplifying itself because of this phenomenon.
True, very true. The fire is helping to magnify the thunderstorm.
All right, and so what's the bigger picture here? What is the Naval Research Laboratory looking at?
Well, the Naval Research Lab has been a leader in this area of research since it began in the early 2000s. We've been looking at these events across the globe. They're most common in North America, Asia, and Australia. But this particular event from this past summer was by far and away the largest ever observed. And because there were four of these monster fire-triggered thunderstorms within about 4 hours, the resulting smoke plume was huge. And it encircled the entire northern hemisphere in a way that a volcanic eruption would. And that smoke layer was actually in the lower stratosphere, which is very high. It's above where planes usually fly. And when you get smoke to that altitude, it tends to stay there for a while. You had an atmospheric effect that lasted about 4 months.
And besides the smoke being there, what can that do? Can it interfere with air traffic in some way, or does it cause other effects once it sits up there?
Well, like I said, when the smoke's up there, it's primarily a visibility concern. But if you imagine there's this dark smoke layer at a high altitude, if you're looking down from space from satellite, it can also obscure visibility in that way. So from a technical standpoint, that's where the importance is. But the Naval Research Lab also likes to engage the broader science community, looking at bigger science questions. So here we have a case where a fire is creating an atmospheric effect similar to a volcano. Volcanoes have been well studied. We know they play an important role in the climate system. But in this case, with these wildfire-driven thunderstorms, the question of how they interact with the climate system remains to be answered.
We're speaking with Dr. David Peterson. He's a meteorologist with the Marine Meteorology Division at the Naval Research Laboratory. And during this smoke ring that encircled the northern hemisphere up in the sky, did it actually, in fact, interfere with satellite signals?
If you were looking at it, just a typical satellite image trying to look at the ground, and you were in a region where this smoke plume was located overhead, you would not have been able to see the ground. It was that thick. And it was very high, too. So, you know, it's above where any sort of aviation is taking place as well. So
sure.
That's a concern.
Now, yes, you can't see optical images from the satellite. What about radio waves and other parts of the spectrum? Can that get through the smoke, or does that also get interfered with?
So, yes, the smoke is changing the composition of the atmosphere in a way that can affect energy propagation of all types.
What happens more, volcanoes or these kinds of wildfires?
So from the research we've done recently, we we can say with great certainty that these wildfire-driven thunderstorms occur much more often than a volcanic eruption. However, the really big ones, like we saw this past summer, are still fairly sporadic. So what you end up with is either if you have a big event like we had this past summer, it can have an impact similar to a volcano in the atmosphere. But also, since these occur fairly frequently, the combined effect over an entire fire season can also have a similar impact on the stratosphere when you look at the total.
So if these firestorms were to happen serially, you could have a continuous smoke cover feeding on itself for an entire, maybe half a year, it sounds like.
That's true. It would take a very active fire season over a large region. But again, once you put smoke to the altitudes where it reaches into the stratosphere, it tends to stay there. So if you have multiple of those events over, say, a 3 or 4 month period, that effect will magnify.
And when you say it stays there, does it stay there forever, or does it come down in some other manner, like with rain?
So it's above the altitude of the weather. That's why it tends to stay there for a while, but it does slowly disperse, and it is slowly removed, but it takes several months.
Okay, so then where do we go from here? Is there any way to get rid of it sooner, or is it something we just have to live with? I mean, what's the goal of all this research?
Well, one of the primary goals is to develop a prediction system for these events. We developed the first algorithm from satellite to track them, to identify when these wildfire-driven thunderstorms are occurring, and to track the downwind smoke. We looked at the weather conditions driving these events to get an idea of what conditions would need to be in place for them to develop. And then going forward, we want to know, okay, so what's the big impact on the stratosphere? We've only looked at one big event from 2017 and one fire season from 2013 so far. But what's the combined effect, say, over the entire Northern Hemisphere in one fire season, and how does that vary year to year? There's a lot of questions that remain to be answered.
And do you have the supercomputing capacity that you need to run these algorithms?
Oh, yes. The Naval Research Lab has a variety of computing capabilities available. We process many, many terabytes of satellite data a day, and we run weather models for the entire globe. So we have the tools necessary. It's just a matter of taking the next step.
And just out of curiosity, when there is no thunderstorm induced by these wildfires and there's just smoke going and where it would go in the absence of the thunderstorm, what happens then?
Well, those are cases that are a bit more well understood. So all wildfires produce smoke. If you don't have the thunderstorm, then that smoke goes to altitudes that are more typical, and the weather forecasting tools that are used to predict where that smoke goes can handle that pretty well. But when you have a wildfire-driven thunderstorm, the smoke goes to altitudes that models don't really account for, and that's why you end up with smoke at an altitude and location where you otherwise wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, sure. So when you're above the weather, are you outside of the atmosphere, or is there some oxygen up there also?
Well, so say a jet aircraft flies at about 35,000 feet, and the smoke from these wildfire-driven thunderstorms is approaching, say, 60,000 feet. You're out of the layer of the atmosphere where most of the weather occurs, but you're still very much in the atmosphere. It's just slightly above that.
Yeah, people jump out of balloons at that height.
That's true, and weather balloons also reach that height.
All right. Dr. David Peterson is a meteorologist with the Marine Meteorology Division at the Naval Research Laboratory. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.